welcome to a brand new episode of Look Forward. I'm your host, Jay. I'm here with my co-host this week, Brad.
What's going on, Jay?
This is the polar opposite of last week's episode. Andy is out this week, so we're doing what? Thunderbird rules?
Freebird rules.
Freebird rules, excuse me. I'm probably going to start drinking Thunderbird by the end of this.
I can't. So how unfair is this that I take, what, two weeks off from the show, 1 week off from the show, and you guys get to talk about, like, the president, like, talking about people hurling, like, cans of soup and not being able to pick up bricks and things of that nature, and then bring me on, and it's like the Hellscape Week.
Yeah, it's the Hellscape Week, and because it's the Hellscape Week, Brad,
it's like fascist preseason going on this week.
Yeah, like to me this week feels like every story was the major story, its own major story for a week. You know what I mean? Like, you could have been like, well, this is the big story for this week. We'll save the next big story. Like it was just brutal. Almost every day there was just a massive fucking story.
Well, and not only that, but like someone mentioned it, and I feel like we've sadly all become incredibly numb to this. Mm-hmm. But like the first half of the docket here, there's like four separate parts of this that in any other administration would easily have gotten literally any other president in American history to be forced to resign.
Oh, 100%.
No, fuck impeachment. Like it would have been a foregone conclusion. They would have probably gotten out ahead of that shit and just stepped down.
No, yeah. I don't want you guys to find out about this. Jesus
Christ. And meanwhile, this is like, what, like the 300th thing that's happened that Trump's been in office, right? that you could make the argument is, you know, in that classification. It's just insanity.
It is.
It's just insanity. But and again, the overarching theme of this week and really the entire Trump presidency is, again, we're really lucky that the president is an idiot.
Right. Because if he wasn't, boy. Oy, oy, oy. Look, I'll warn you, if you're listening, if you have friends who are in this, I don't think Joe Biden is gonna be that different, and I'm not sure I'm gonna vote. Boy, do I have a story for you to relay to them, because if it doesn't make you angry, I'm not sure you have a soul or a heart or whatever is supposed to be pumping inside of your dead, empty chest. But it's one of the most mind-boggling stories of the week. But we'll get to it.
And it's gonna fly today. I know what story you're referring to.
Yeah.
This is not even going to make many primetime shows on
CNN
and MSNBC and local and you know, world national news and stuff like that.
Right. No, it won't. It won't. It should probably be arguably the biggest story of the week, right, in my opinion, like right up there with the obvious story, which is the COVID-19 playing it down story. Because I think there's sort of some intersectionality between those two.
By the way, before we even kick off, not in the docket is the fact that California is on fire.
Yeah, like, it's not even on the docket state
because there's so many other things. And what can you say? I mean, it's on fire. It's spread to Oregon. They're not. The federal government apparently is not helping. Mexico is.
Yeah, I think the feds are a little slow, but I think they're
getting there.
Yeah, they're finally getting there. So there is, yeah, I didn't put it on the docket, not because I don't care about it. I care about it a lot, but I don't know what else to tell you besides.
It's hard to talk about it. The jarring thing for me is Trump finally went out there today,
yeah,
and had a round table with press. With a lot of state leaders out there.
So I actually have the clip of Gavin Newsom talking to him. Have you heard this?
I haven't heard Gavin Newsom talking to him. I heard the climate scientist or like the chief guy.
Oh, where he was like, I don't think the science is right on this.
Yeah, where he's like, oh, watch, it'll just cool down. It'll just cool down. And the scientist is like, well, you know, I wish the science agreed with you, but it doesn't. He's like, well, I don't think the science is right.
It's like, what?
Great strategy. Great climate strategy from the White House.
I love that.
I don't think the science is right.
I like that his answer to wildfires is the same as his answer to COVID. It'll go away. Just watch.
Right.
Wow. Okay. I don't know if you guys know, but almost 200,000 people have died.
I mean, maybe what you don't realize is that maybe the fires are a good thing, because after all, the higher temperatures make the COVID less likely to survive. I would imagine that if you tested the areas of California that are on fire right now, probably very low COVID cases going on at the moment. And
that's a good point.
And it's helping get rid of the COVID. So maybe we just let it burn. Maybe that's the plan.
Maybe we go for forest fire herd immunity.
we just burn all forests, and then there will be no forest fires.
Right. Yeah. So. It's a simple solution. You know what? Frankly, we're the idiots for not thinking of it. So before I get to the Gavin Newsom clip, since we're talking about that, I do want to point out that because this week fucking sucks, I'm going to bring back an old thing. Mm. It's an oldie but a goodie, but it's true for me.
I love scotch. I love scotch. Scotch is scotch, scotch. Here it goes down into my belly.
Yes, I am a very heavy pour, and I am not ashamed of it.
I feel like that you walk a very tight line between, you know, doing what you do with the soundboard and full on like morning drive DJ levels.
Yeah, no, that's fine. I'm okay with that. Fucking like, zoo crew fall, nonsense. I feel
like you can fall over that at any point.
Yeah, no, that's fine. And look,
we're giving too much power to one man. So
yeah, like fart noise. We've got a wiener. Oh my god. But all right. So let me play the Gavin Newsom clip, which I think pretty much sums it up. I want you to pay attention to. So he's talking directly to Trump, right? Trump is sitting right next to him at the table with him. But I want you to pay attention to how he handles Trump. It's really interesting, like the language he uses.
One thing is fundamental. 57% of the land in this state is federal forest land. 3% is California. So we really do need that support. We need that emphasis of engagement. And we are fully committed to working with you to advance that cause. And final point, I'd be negligent, and this is not, and we've known each other too long, and as you suggest, the working relationship I value. We obviously feel very strongly that the hots are getting hotter, the dries are getting drier. When we're having heat domes the likes of which we've never seen in our history, the hottest August ever in the history of the state, the ferocity of these fires, the drought 5+ years, losing 163 million trees to that drought. Something's happened to the plumbing of the world. And we come from a perspective, humbly, where we submit the science is in and observed evidence is self-evident, that climate change is real, and that is exacerbating this. And so I think there's an area of at least commonality on vegetation, forest management, but please respect, and I know you do, the difference of opinion out here as it relates to this fundamental issue on the issue of climate change.
Absolutely.
Appreciate that.
Jet, please.
So the thing I found interesting about that mm-hmm. is he's being very careful mm-hmm. to be not critical of the federal government mm-hmm. necessarily, though there's a quip in the beginning there. 56% of this land that's burning is federal land. You fucks. This is your shit. It's not ours. You know, we only own 3%, which is interesting, right? Like, that's a very smart way to play that. The other part was he's being very deferential to him, right? Mm-hmm. You know, like, he's playing him like, look, not trying to piss you off, but I'm also not going to pretend that this has nothing to do with climate change. I'm not going to tell you that raking the forest is the fix here. Like, he doesn't kiss his ass, but he also doesn't try to, like, he's not trying to battle him because they're in the middle of some real shit, and he doesn't need a political fight on his hands.
I mean, he doesn't have the fucking time for that shit right now. It's not, you don't have time for a pissing match. If that means you have to be a bit more deferential to an egomaniac, then so be it. I applaud Trump actually for not being, you know, starting off the, oh, by the way, Kimberly says hello. when that would be an absolute.
My son is blowing her back out like you never could, Gavin. Like, wow. All right.
But I don't have, and we've seen other governors also do this when they've actually tried to appeal to his narcissism,
right?
In some way, instead of combating him, when the chips are actually on the table. Now, you know, the effectiveness to that depends very much on how many electoral votes the state gave him.
Right. I mean, but, let's get real. Like, he don't give a fuck about California for that reason. Well,
and that's why the response has been foot dragging, at least from his perspective, in terms of being vocal about it and going to help. It also doesn't help that you can't send brown shirts out there to fire guns at the fire to calm it down. So I assume that's also factoring in.
I mean, you can. I don't know if it'll work, but
it worse, actually.
Yeah. We're firing live ammo.
Yeah. It's exploding. Why?
I mean, but that's stand closer. But
please, all the way in. You gotta just go from the inside.
You know what? Yeah. The fire is brown in the middle. You may want to go take a look. But I think that idea is accurate, right? Which is he can't get people jazzed up about helping people. Like, he politicized the coronavirus because it's easy to politicize, like, left versus right. It's a fire, dude. Like, it's a fire. So the only thing, and fires don't care, much like coronavirus, don't care who you are, right? Like, they don't care if you're conservative or liberal or somewhere in the middle or, you know, no political affiliation or don't care. It'll still burn your fucking house down. So you can tell when Trump is out of his depth with topics like this, because his go-to is division. Like, what do I get out of it? Like, that's the number one question. If I can't get anything out of it, how do I divide the issue so that I benefit ultimately, right? Like, I rile my people up and shit. Or, you know, quote unquote, own the libs. But in this case, it's just a fire.
Well, it's
on federal land. That's all it is.
It's what we mean when we say, quite seriously, that he's not up for the job. Like this is what the actual job of president is. Very much at the end of the day is being able to respond effectively to crisis, to be able to. And again, you don't have to have all the answers. That's why you have people that are experts that work underneath you. Ultimately, you're the guy that's supposed to be directing traffic, and you're supposed to be the guy making the final call. And like you said, when your default is to partisanship about everything, it right. makes you not able to deal with situations like natural disasters. And we saw, I mean, this tracks all the way back to Maria happening back in his first year in office.
Right. Right. How do I divide the nation on this? Why are you dividing the nation on this? It's hurricane relief. Right. You're like, are they really Americans? So like, that's what he went with, right? And he just let 3,000 people die.
And again, to contrast, one of the like indelible images of the Obama presidency is Obama, you know, getting off the plane in New Jersey and being embraced by Chris Christie, a dude that fucking hates him because right. Chris Christie knows he's there to help, because Obama doesn't care who the governor is of New Jersey. He doesn't care how critical Chris Christie is of him. Yep. He's like, I'm the fucking president.
That's my job.
And this is my job.
Right. And look, I mean, let's get real. Chris Christie paid a heavy price for that fucking photo op, right? Like, there are two major photo ops in his career that really fucked him. I mean, besides killing that guy on the bridge. I mean, yeah, you already know what I'm going to say, right? It's the one of him laying out on the beach, which is not flattering. And that picture with Obama. Like, it really hurt him with hardcore psycho conservatives who were like, you're holding Bryce Obama. He's like, yo, he helped the people of my state. What am I supposed to do?
Right, but I also don't think that Chris Christie regrets that. He might regret.
No, I don't think he does.
He might regret the beach thing. He doesn't regret. He should regret
that beach image. Yikes.
So, but again, you have to be able to do this job effectively, and any leadership position. And it doesn't matter if you're the fucking president, the governor, or you're like the manager at a fucking McDonald's. Like, you have to be able to put your ego aside to manage effectively.
Yeah, absolutely.
You can't get caught in your feelings, and he's incapable of doing that.
He is a small man. He is a very small man.
Well, in that sense.
Yeah, I mean, in a real sense.
in other senses, he is very much not.
I am a large man. Stormy Daniels would say otherwise. So, all right, let's jump right into like the regular part of the show. So last time on America, the season, the series finale, Trump got busted calling troops losers and suckers. It was a huge Vanity Fair article where he basically it got leveled against him that he didn't give a fuck about the military, especially disabled military vets. And he was like, oh, I don't get it. Why would these people, you know, sacrifice themselves? Like, they didn't even get any cash out of it, right? They didn't even get a golden toilet. So he just couldn't understand. I can't believe this happened this week, which is time has no meaning. Trump immediately tried to pivot and was like, my generals are all warmongers, and they just want to send our troops who love me into war. They're the worst, right? Am I right, guys? Yes, when the coup comes, will the generals protect me? No? Oh, shit. I forgot about that. Yeah, so he went after and called them warmongers, saying that they all want to profit. They want to profit from just going to endless wars. Here's the thing. He's kind of right. But
yes and no. Yes,
but
and
it's
no.
Not the generals.
Right. It's not the generals that are the problem. It's the politicians that work right. above them.
Right. And all of the contractors.
Right.
The only problem is I don't buy this as a real statement because he put the guy who's like the top lobbyist for Raytheon as Secretary of Defense.
Like I said, he has a Raytheon lobbyist as a Secretary of Defense. He's inflated the defense budget every year that he's been president. There are more troops in the Middle East now than there were when he became president. Like there's a lot. I feel like there's a lot of evidence that's mounted on the other side of Trump's "I'm not a warmonger" stance.
Brad, I mean, you're making a lot of points. I don't care for them.
More drone strikes have been carried out, I think, in Syria or
Yemen.
I can't remember where. It might even be Sudan, actually, too. Like more drone strikes have been carried out in Sudan in the past year than in the entire Obama presidency over the course of 8 years.
Now, that surely should be huge news on the left, because I know everyone really, really cares about drone strikes, right? I've heard so much talk about it. It's the biggest thing ever. Why isn't everyone screaming about drone strikes? Oh, wait. That's right. They're full of shit.
Civilian
but whatever.
Casualties are way up under Trump than they were under Obama. Just, I mean, again, I can go on. I don't feel like I need to. So
no, but you're right. Boosted defense budget 3 years running, reached a record $738 billion for fiscal year 2020. Real warmongers. Right.
To be fair, Trump is not fully responsible for this. He is fully accountable for it because he is the fucking commander in chief.
Right. He's not writing the budgets.
Right. But he's not fully responsible for the totality of this. But when you advertise yourself as the president who's ending the endless wars, when you very much are not, that kind of runs as a problem. It would, at least, if people could evaluate your record honestly. But even people on the left can't correctly cast the right dispersion on right wingers with this.
Right. And the part of the reason, I mean, one, there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of information that's not fully disclosed, right? Like that's a fair point to anybody looking at this. The other side of it is this is what happens when you go so extreme on everything about the war that when you have somebody coming back with like really marketable differences, when you say, well, everything is the same on both sides, it's hard to differentiate between an Obama and a Trump and a Bush, right? Well, you go, they're all the same. No, but if you look at the numbers, they're very much not the same. Like,
or,
and that's the problem.
Or it's not even going balls to the wall. It's having an unreasonable bar for what you would consider successful to be. Like you can't sit there right. and say, well, no drone strikes is what I'm aiming for. But that's not realistic. That's not a possible
right. outcome. You can absolutely want the numbers of civilian casualties to be as low as possible. It's never going to be zero. Like right. it's just
nor can you pull out troops entirely out of these areas. You can certainly reduce troop volume, but it's not like you can just, you know, abandon the areas. But doing that is how, you know, a lot of problems have been, you know, have reinserted themselves. And I get that you don't want us to be the interventionist police in all of the war's woes, and that's certainly correct. But, you know, again, if you have to have a realistic, you know, threshold.
We still have like 30,000 troops in Germany. Like, I mean, come on. It's just this, but this idea of unrealistic views of what the world looks like, or what you want the world to look like, does a lot of damage, I think, to actual having honest and coherent arguments.
Well, right? And that concerns me going forward. And I didn't.
Really, by the way, that's not. I'm not just saying the left. I'm right. also saying the right. The right can be completely ridiculous.
I didn't intend for this to become a critique on the far left, but it's one of the things I'm concerned about. Is when Biden is president, I feel like that pendulum is going to swing back hard the other direction. And we expect it from the right because they're, you know, they can't act in good faith ever. Right. But I feel like that the far left is also going to be hypercritical of anything that Biden does that doesn't line up with.
Right. I think we've all seen that in the last couple of days with people on the far left being split between Ed Markey and Joe Kennedy III, mm-hmm. most of them being for Ed Markey, who voted for the crime bill. Like,
and the Iraq War.
And the Iraq War. But right. it's like, but we really love Ed Markey. But what about these things? We really love Ed Markey. Stop talking about those things. You know, are they not important?
You know who didn't vote for the Iraq War? Joe Kennedy.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, fine. He was like, I was in high school. But right. I mean, but that's
but he
the argument.
Would have.
He definitely would have done it. I mean, he probably would have, right? Like, but
you're not wrong.
Chances are. But I just find that funny how the things, and I think you pointed out, like, it's funny how those things don't matter.
Well, it matters if it's someone you don't like and you can use it as an attack point. It's easy to brush aside if it's someone that you do like.
Right. But what about all the other things he did? All right. Well, but we never talk about anything else. We are only ever talking about these two things. Okay. Right. Like, it's fine. It may have been you or Fabian, I can't remember, in our fan group, but I just found that to be really quite hilarious. Like him lashing out, calling, these people warmongers is half correct, but you're also enabling it. So this is just more of a distraction.
A joke that I like telling is that he has the same motto as Truman did. With the buck stops here, but with him, it's a very different context in what he's talking about. So.
Right, exactly. Like, no, I got it. That's my buck. I need it. Fuck you. But I the funny thing is, I thought maybe we would see sort of that story would kind of fade out and be done. Mm-hmm. But then I saw I don't remember who did the poll, but you know, it's still early, but well, it's not that early in the race, actually. You only have like 50 days. But people think like troops feeling who supports, you know, which candidate supports the troops more between Biden and Trump. Biden is winning by 24 points.
Well, and here's the reason. So like, was Biden the best presidential candidate that the network has had to offer? Still probably not. But
no.
He, as the race has gone along, all of these things have come forward that either we forgot about or we didn't realize that actually make him pretty uniquely qualified to beat Donald Trump. And the military thing is one of them, because it's kind of hard to shit on Biden with the military when his dead son served in Afghanistan.
Right. Right. Like, he wasn't like, oh, you know, I was at the, you know, I was in the Air Force Reserves or some shit. Like, nah, you know, like, he wasn't. His boots on the ground. Yeah, you're right. Like, no one else. I mean, I guess the only other person who could.
Yeah.
yeah, Pete Buttigieg is the only one who could have been like, fuck you, dude, I was there. Right? Like, he could make that argument. I'm not saying he would be a better candidate than Biden. Not at all. I don't know. But I think that I think those are some unique qualities that make him positioned into where he is now. Like, I really do. Though I think as I look at things, I think any of the Democrats would have gotten just a massive rally behind them. I think Biden definitely has some things that make him a little bit less open to attack. But I think one of the big things is Trump doesn't know what to do with him. Mm-hmm. He really doesn't know. Oh, Sleepy Joe. Okay. Like, that's not working, dude. Like,
they're still running the basement line. Like, oh, he's campaigning out of his basement. Dude was in four cities last week. Biden was doing events that were on TV. It's like all the attacks ring hollow. What is it? Romney McDaniel. I'm going to keep throwing the Romney in there because of her. Like, showed an interview that Simone Sanders did with George Stephanopoulos where, you know, she was insinuating, oh, look, Joe Biden's, you know, what he did on the coronavirus was insufficient. You can't run for your record, Joe. And it's like, he's not the president. like what are you doing?
Yeah, she's like, well, he didn't say enough in the beginning. Again, he's not the president, and he wasn't getting the briefings that the president was giving. So what's your argument? Like, because honestly, all they can do is deflect at this point because they don't have anything to go, we're doing a great job, because they're not doing a great job. And I think in their heart of hearts, they know they're not. Trump can say whatever he wants, and he may or may not believe it. I don't know. I think he's kind of convinced. He lives a lie. He is like the George Costanza candidate. But it's not a lie if you believe it.
Not in the fun way, though.
No, definitely not. But – like, he may believe it, but I think a lot of people around him are like, I don't know what's going to happen. I think they're really concerned, and they should be concerned. So I don't know. Every week I pose the same question, like, what are the Russians up to? I think we got our answer this week, and it's terrifying. I don't know if you saw that story, but there's an excerpt from Woodward's book that basically says the Russians have the ability to change votes. That's terrifying.
Scary.
Yeah, that's really fucking scary. So I don't know if they will be able to, like, that's why voting is very important, because it needs to be an insurmountable amount. Like, it has to be so crazy that people go, nah, dude, he did not win Florida by 87% of the vote. Like, you know, you have to make it ridiculous, right? You have to force them to go ridiculous to point it out, right? You can't. That apathy doesn't work. Like, apathy works great in 2016 because you get, like, if they could change the votes then, who knows if they did or not. You only need to change a few, right? And then it's like, oh, okay, it was close. But if the numbers are, like, wild, no, it won't work. It'll look too insane. And that's how you beat them. Like, you just run the scoreboard up, man. That's it. So the other thing here, the next story, Trump administration basically pushing herd immunity to deal with COVID-19. So they haven't said this, but what they're doing leads people to think that's what they're doing. And they have, like, a spokesman, I forget who the guy is, who's like, yeah, I mean, herd immunity is pretty sweet, right? Yeah, it worked in Sweden. And, like, dude, they just let, like, a ton of people die. like they just let a lot of old people just die.
Now finish the story.
Yeah, exactly. Oops.
Again, the people that advocate for this, if you aren't volunteering yourself and your family and your meemaw as tribute, then I don't want to fucking hear about it. It's no. You can't be like, nope. No, this is a great idea, and then let's subjugate this to the poors. Like that. That's who will trot out there for herd immunity. Nah, you want herd immunity? Then all the fucking Fox News folks and all the right wingers can get themselves inside of an arena and you know, drop like the COVID bomb in there and herd it out. Have fun.
Right. We could give you COVID, guys. Like, it's not that hard. We can just wheel in a couple of patients, have them breathe all over you. You'll get it. And we'll see how it works. Yeah, they're like, oh, as long as you don't die, you're fine. All right. I don't know. You guys might want to read up on, I know you guys aren't that smart, but you might want to read up on some of the neurological issues that people have or some of the intellectual issues that people have afterwards.
And not only that, but when we kicked off and when we were hitting the spikes with the disease, like our hospital system had, you know, an impossible time keeping up with it then.
Right.
Like, what the fuck do you think's going to happen if you just let this shit run wild?
Oh, I mean, immunity, Brad.
Yeah.
Immunity.
Immunity or death. One of the two.
Yeah. Give me immunity or give me death. That's what the founding fathers said. Everyone knows it on that stupid flag. The talk is that if you were to reach herd immunity, 2 million Americans would have to die. We're at 200,000. You guys ready for another 1.8? Like, what are you talking about? Like, that's insane. That's insane. 1.8 million people need to die before we get herd immunity. I don't want it. I don't want it. I don't want it. No, fuck yeah. That.
And again, Sweden had 5,000 deaths or almost 6,000 deaths with a population of about 10 million people. So multiply that by 33. And even then, I think you're still coming out a little low.
Yeah.
On the numbers there.
Nah, yo. Sacrifice your family.
That go. Just like I said, just absolute fucking
madness.
Absolute fucking insanity.
Well, and that's the whole thing where he said early on, well, what would happen if we just let the virus just wash over the country? That was the herd immunity conversation, right? If you let that happen, millions of people will die. Can you imagine if 2 million Americans died from this? There would still be people like, well, I mean, I think he's doing a great job. At least we don't have to wear a fucking mask like some cuck, I can tell you that.
Actually, I'm curious to calculate this because I have the Sweden statistics in front of me.
So, well, they say it's somewhere between – there's some – like she believes – there was one doctor, Swaminathan. Mm-hmm. She believes that about 65 to 70% of the population would need to become infected to achieve herd immunity.
Right. And they had – Sweden had about a 7% mortality rate based on reported cases. And that's just, and again, that's just based on reported cases. That's not based on –
right.
What the actual number is, which is probably much higher.
Right. It says the Washington Post article says with a population of 328 million in the United States, it may require more than 2 million deaths to reach 65% threshold of herd immunity, assuming the virus has a 1% fatality rate,
right,
according to an analysis by the Washington Post.
I just, like I said, I just don't. It doesn't, and again, this is going to be a common theme throughout the show. It doesn't compute with me to treat death and suffering of your own people, by the way. It's not like this is a foreign country that you can, or, you know, that you can go jingoistic on.
Right.
Like, this people in your country. Like, we just got done, you know, remembering.
These are your 9/11. Voters, by the way.
Right. We
your
just voters. Got done remembering 9/11, an event that still, you know, weighs heavily on people. It's almost been 20 years now. And what's the, you never forget. Never forget. And how many people died in 9/11 and the aftermath of 9/11? Like 5,500 people. And that's deeply affecting for Americans. But many people on the right would be totally, and probably some on the left too, would probably be totally fine, like you said, letting nearly 2 million people die of this thing. It's like, well, it's what we had to do. It's what we had to do to eradicate it.
Well, what that tells me, those people, right? Like those people who believe things like this. What that tells me is they are morally bankrupt. Like, they are morally bankrupt people. Like, I mean, obviously, I think it's more people on the right than the left. But yeah, I'm sure there are people on the extreme left.
Other way around, you mean?
No, I'm saying there are more psychos who believe in herd immunity on the right than on the left. But then you have like the anti-vaxxer wine moms who probably are like, yeah, just let everybody go outside and then they'll be fine. I don't know. It's 11 o'clock in the morning. I'm drinking. Like, they don't really give a shit, right? Because they're willfully ignorant. But I think those people are just morally bankrupt. And I think that we should stop treating those people like normal citizens, because I think we often go, oh, these crazy people, and then the news is like putting a microphone in their face. Well, what do you think? I think it's time to build a box and put them in it and jettison it into the sun, right? Like, figuratively or literally, I'm fine with either. But we need to stop listening to these people, right? The problem is a percentage of these people now run the country, which is fucking terrifying that any American president would think that herd immunity, letting possibly 2 million people die, is an acceptable thing. It's not a movie. They're real people, man. Like, they're real people. They're real people's kids, right? Because in that 2 million, like, keep in mind.
Yes, yeah, it's not all going to be senior citizens.
Right. And Trump knows that. We'll play that clip in a minute. But the other part to this is, okay, it's 2 million people. This comes at the same time that these people are literally pushing for less testing. There's a reason for that, right? Because they don't want you to know that you have it. So you keep spreading it to your friends and family. So more and more people get infected. Less testing, bigger push to get kids back in school. Why would you do that, right? Because it seems like, well, they're just ignoring the science. No, they understand the science. That's what it tells me now. They understand the science. They want to try to get as many, they want school to be a super spreader event. They do, because they want more people to get it so they can get closer to the 65 to 70% number. The problem is, in that 2 million people who would potentially die, there will be kids, there will be older folks, there will be younger people. I have a neighbor who works at a children's hospital. And my wife was talking to him the other day, and he was saying, like, look, COVID is very real for kids. He was like, we have two children right now who have COVID, who are under 2 years old, who are there. They're in, like, you know, intensive care because of coronavirus. They're under 2 years old. They're babies. But it like, none of these stories permeate the news in a way that I think they should, right? Like, I'm not one of these people who are like, you know, kids are more important than everything else. They're not more important than everything else. But we're literally putting kids in the lion's den at this point. And they're doing it so that they can have this weird herd immunity thing that's going to get 2 million people killed. That's an insane number. It's fucking nuts. So, no, like, unacceptable. Sacrifice your kids. Send Barron out there. Yeah, put Barron, go take Barron out there. There was a study that came out recently, because, you know, like, New York reopened for, like, at 25% internal dining. No, yo, like, 100% absolutely not. But there was a study that showed, it was a small study, but they had like 300 or 400 people, and they had them all like, you know, go do your thing. Like, you know, if you want to stay home or not, like, whatever. To half of them, and then they had the other half of people being like, you know, you go to the grocery store, but you wear a mask. You wear a mask everywhere you go. You can do whatever you want, but just wear a mask, right? Just kind of follow the rules. Half the people, like, they all did the same general things, but, you know, one group wore masks, one group, like, kind of just did whatever they wanted to do and didn't wear masks because they, you know, freedom or whatever. But the people who, or no, I'm sorry, that's incorrect. They all had to wear masks, like, everywhere, and all did the same thing. But the people, 50% of the, like, the people who got coronavirus, their number one commonality was they went to restaurants and ate inside. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you have to pull your mask down to fucking eat. And you're sitting there with your mask off the entire time while you're talking to your friends and everything else, just fucking getting that sweet Rona in as it, you know, as it lands on your black and blue burger or whatever, at Pudfuckers or wherever you eat, infecting people. So yeah, this is, and Trump is like, yeah, I'm glad New York's doing it. We need to get those numbers up. Keep going. Yeah. It's not because he cares about the economy, though he does. This is the reason. He wants it to spread. Like Chris Hayes said, he's pro-coronavirus. He's 100% correct in that. So,
it seems like a an unsure strategy when you're trying to win fucking re-election. But then again, when his insane base doesn't care.
No. Look, I think any of these, I think just about any of the people who ran in 2016 could beat him. I do. I truly do. Like, of the serious candidates, right? Mm-hmm. Any of them could have beaten him. Like Harris, Buttigieg, Warren. I think Bernie could have beaten him too. Though it's a little bit dicey, not because of like the politician he is, but they would have just run the socialism thing into the fucking ground. And I think that affects old people like crazy. Biden, maybe Klobuchar, she's not that great, but she might have been able to beat him too. Because of one fundamental reason, he just keeps fucking up. He's just doing super wild shit.
Good segue.
Yeah, just keeps fucking up, like in masterful ways. Speaking of that, you were going to say something. Go ahead.
Well, so if I was going to get into if I got a wild hair up my ass, and I was like, you know what, I want to get into a bare knuckle boxing match with somebody, it would be pretty stupid of me to go seek out like Mike Tyson.
Yeah, no, that's not a good idea.
To get into a bare knuckle boxing match with.
Yeah, you get your head knocked off.
Like, that would be a poor idea, right? Like to even have that thought would be pretty stupid.
I feel like I'm pretty tough after COVID. I've been working out inside the house. All right.
So the reason I mention that is because Trump thought it would be a great idea to sit down and give taped interviews with one of the two guys that was instrumental in bringing the Watergate scandal to light. And he did it not once, not twice, not thrice, but 18 separate times.
10 hours of tape.
Amazing.
With Bob Woodward. Amazing. Are you out of your fucking mind?
As I saw someone put it, or someone somewhere put it, with Watergate, like Woodward and Bernstein had to dig to find the information, which led Nixon to make his tapes, which was his downfall. And then Trump decided, you know what? I'm just going to cut out the middleman.
Yeah. Look, I've said it a number of times on here. I think he's read a book on Nixon and just got halfway through the story and just closed the book. He was like, yeah,
this guy's a genius. He got reelected. He swept the nation, a landslide victory, and then nothing happened.
Yeah, I got it. Cliff notes. Like,
he lived happily ever after as the president.
One of our greatest presidents, Richard Milhouse Nixon. Yeah, I just feel like a lot of times I'm like, dude, you did not read this entire Wikipedia entry. Like, you really stopped quite early. Yeah, like, you got to sit down with Bob Woodward? Like, you sure? All right. I wouldn't have done that.
And this is the same. So, like, I was listening to Pod Save the World. And Tommy Vietor and Ben Rhodes were talking about this. And Ben Rhodes is like, yeah, he's like, you know, Bob Woodward wrote two books about the Obama office or about the Obama administration.
Yeah.
And like the way he would do it is he would come in and you know, he'd sit down and he'd make small talk and he was very pleasant, stuff like this. And then he'd be like, hey, so I came across this information that's been confirmed by all these like top level sources. And I'm not going to ask you for, you know, any comment on the record about it, but I'm just going to let you see what I have. I'll leave it here. You guys can check it out. Take a look at the information that I've been able to compile. And then get back to me. Let me know what you want to sit down and talk about, maybe.
Interesting.
Like that's the level of information that he is able to get access to. And so Trump's like, this is a good idea to sit down with this guy and just have a very honest conversation with one of apparently the best interviewers in politics.
Yeah, that's a mistake. Like, that was a huge mistake, dude. Like, what are you doing? Was it who's Trump's chief of staff? Kevin McCarthy?
No, Mark Meadows.
Mark Meadows, yeah.
I mean, it's, you know, one what's one other middle-aged white man compared to another middle-aged white man?
It's like what? Like the difference between the two of them is like boiling an egg and then boiling a ping pong ball. Like, what's the difference? Who gives a shit? Like Mark Meadows was like, they're like, what are your thoughts today? He was like, I would not have given Bob Woodward that kind of access. Yeah, no shit, you wouldn't have. No shit, you wouldn't have.
The fucking understatement of the century.
Yeah, dude. But I mean, like, why not just have Carl Bernstein sitting there with him? Like, they're just high-fiving. Like, he's telling us everything. But this is Trump's downfall, right? This is Trump's tell. All you have to do is get this guy to talk. He doesn't even drink. You don't have to ply this guy with liquor or anything. You just turn the mic on and he just keeps going, man. He just cannot help himself.
Well, he can't help himself.
No.
He can't. And again, it boils down to this belief that he has where he's the smartest he thinks he's the smartest person in every room that
that's
he
right.
is in.
That's right.
And
it's awesome.
And not only does he think he's the smartest person, he has to show you how smart he is.
Yeah.
Because he can't, like I said, the actual smartest person would say nothing and listen, but he's got to show, pull his dick out and show you just how fucking smart he is.
By the way, that's how I know alien. We've not found aliens except for like the news story that broke today on Venus.
Oh, because he wouldn't be able to.
Help no way, dude. No fucking way. Or those guys are like, don't tell him. Like, don't tell him. This guy's an idiot. Like, you're serious? He's sitting down with Bob Woodward for 18 hours.
Listen, now that I'm president, I watched a great movie, historical documentary called National Treasure 2. It starred Nicolas Cage. He was great. But there's a book in the movie of all the secrets. And can you get me the book? It might be in my desk. In a hidden compartment. Can you get this book for me, please?
I want Nicolas Cage brought in on sedition. He stole the Declaration of Independence. We cannot trust him. But yeah, I'm amazed that like all you have to do for this guy is be like, so what do you think of this? And he's just like, bleh! Like he just fucking tells it all, man. He just tells it all. So of course, Bob Woodward.
And
smart.
Before we get there, more importantly, I think the reason that he was opened up as much as he was is because this wasn't televised. Like I feel like when he's on camera, he feels the need to perform more than he does. Like it's one of the things that made like the Axios interview really good is because he felt the need to like perform. He's like, look, I brought graphs. Like he like had like fucking physical materials ready to rock and roll.
Yeah.
But with here, he's not performing for an audience. He's literally just having a conversation almost to the point where he might have just forgotten that the fucking tape recorder was there.
There's a possibility.
Yeah.
There's a possibility.
And he's just fucking talking, trying to impress Bob Woodward.
Right. And that's what it is, right? You're right. He's always trying to, you know, he thinks he's the smartest person in the room. Of course, he never is. Two, it's trying to impress because the second part of this story, and we'll talk about it, is the secret nuke program. Like, what are you doing, dude? Don't tell. He's like, you know how cool I am? They let me see the secret nukes. You want to see him? Yeah, come on. Come on, Bab. Come on. I'll show them to you. Like, yeah, I'm surprised he didn't just blurt out what the details of the nuke program were.
Right.
I'm surprised. So
we can launch it right now. See the briefcase that the Secret Service agent is carrying over there? That's called the football.
And, the code is...
I've got the codes.
The code is 12345. What kind of an idiot would have a code? Oh, wait a minute.
It's a great code. You would never guess it. Diet Coke is the code.
Diet Coke is the code. I don't drink any water.
To make it something it would be easy for me to remember.
Oh, yeah, of course. Come on. So here's Donald Trump discussing his thoughts on COVID. This is back in February. This is at the same time he's telling everybody, "Hey, it's going to go away. It's not as bad as the flu. You'll be fine." All right. So here you go.
That's a very tricky one. That's a very delicate one. It's also more deadly than your. You know, even your strenuous flus. I wanted to always play it down. I still like playing it down.
Yes, sir.
Because I don't want to create a panic.
Yeah. So I don't have the part where he's talking about like, oh, it's bad for kids and it's in the air and all this other stuff. But yeah, I'm sure you've heard that clip.
Talking about how the mortality rate's like 5%, which is way higher than the seasonal flu.
The strenuous flus. So he knew exactly what he was doing. He knew exactly what he was saying, and he was telling the exact opposite
Well, and again, like, once again, one of my favorite phenomenons happens where the story comes out in written form, and then, you know, dumb Barbie has to get up on the fucking podium and knock that shit down. And she's like, oh, the president didn't, like, the president definitely did not try to play it down. And then, like, later on that same day, it's like, we have the tapes. Lordy, I hope there's tapes. Well, we got them. Here, yeah. Here you go. Here's
the president never downplayed the coronavirus.
I like playing it down.
I love playing it down. And if Kayleigh McEnany hears this, I hate that bitch anyway. Oh, sorry. Is his tape still on? Oh, God. But yeah, no, he embarrasses them every time.
Right. Like at one point, do you stop defending his dumbass? Because he's just going to say that he's just going to say the thing out loud.
They've never learned that lesson, man. Like, I get her job is hard, right? Like, she's got to defend the president. She's got to defend the administration. I get that. Mm-hmm. But don't say definitive things like he never used the word play it down. Like, don't say that.
Right. Because
he did.
It's not, unless you truly believe that the story is being made up out of whole cloth.
How, like, they could possibly believe that now.
They're going to have proof.
How, like, they could happens
possibly every single time.
It's
every
wild.
Every single time. And then they have to do the dance where it's like, well, I know he said this, but he meant this. Like, no, he meant the thing he said.
Like,
stop being an idiot.
Like, if he always means the opposite of what he said, then maybe he's not so good at the old talky-talky part. Because, right. Like, he's clearly not clear. And why is it that only you guys understand the translation for him?
Or my other favorite part is the one where they're like, well, of course, you know, he didn't want to cause a panic. He would never want to cause a panic. I'm like, oh, you mean the president who told you that a caravan of fucking of thieves and murderers and rapists were encroaching the border just so happening in the lead up to the 2018 election?
Right.
The guy who's talking about the Democrats going to, you know, take over the suburbs. That,
right.
That's the same guy that doesn't want to cause a panic.
Or the president doesn't want to cause a panic. Cut to inauguration speech. American carnage! They're killing white babies on the street and eating them! Like, pretty sure, yeah, your whole thing is causing a panic. Like, that's your whole thing.
It's your brand.
Yeah, it's your brand. Like you said, like the caravan of rapey Mexicans coming across the border when he brought him and his dumb fuck wife down the escalator and talked about Mexicans are bringing rapists and not sending their best. That was all to cause a panic. All of it is. So this idea that he doesn't want to cause a panic, I'd be like, that's literally the opposite of your brand.
Literally, his only strategy is to panic white people into voting for him.
Yeah. Yeah. Are you scared?
That's all he's got.
Yeah. Are you scared? You should be scared. Are you scared? I'm fucking scared too. Come on. Be scared
again,
with me.
His core campaign message, we have to remind you folks, is you see the things that are happening right now?
Right.
This is Joe Biden's America.
Aren't you terrified of this? But yeah. Shouldn't I be terrified right now? Well, yeah, but less because it's me. Yeah, it's your boy Trump. Come on. Yeah, I found that to be wild. And then, like we talked about from Woodward's book, secret nuke program, where he was like, yeah, like, no big deal. We got something that Russia and China's never seen, which, rightfully pointed out, people were like, so you just started another nuclear arm race. Thanks. great. Appreciate that. How about shutting the fuck up? How about just shutting up? Like, it's cool. Just shut the fuck up. Former DNI, Director of National Intelligence, Dan Coats, according to Bob Woodward's book, also believed that Putin had something on Trump. It's amazing how slow these guys are on the uptick, man. Dude, we've been saying it since, I don't know, the day he walked into the fucking White House. Probably at least since Michael Flynn. Like that's when it sort of hit the mainstream, right? Mm-hmm. But apparently Dan Coats, who always reminds me of like a more clean cut Bill Nye. always. Dan Coats says that he doesn't have any supported proof, but he continues to harbor the secret belief, one that has grown rather than lessened, although unsupported by intelligence proof, that Putin had something on Trump. Quote, how else to explain the president's behavior, Woodward wrote. Coates could see no other explanation. Coates saw how extraordinary it was for the president's top intelligence official to harbor such deep suspicions about the president's relationship with Putin, but he could not shake them. Hello. Like, I mean, it's not fucking hard. Like, it's not hard to understand this. I do have a really scary question, mm-hmm. which is, okay, let's say this election happens and Trump wins, mm-hmm. and it's clear that it is rigged, like it was rigged last time, but more obvious, right? Because mm-hmm. everybody's looking for it, right? Everybody, like, not everybody was looking for it in 2016, but everybody's looking for it now. It has become clear, like, if you listen to, because Peter Strzok, who was head of sort of counterintelligence, he's got a book out too, and he pretty much has the same view as Coates does. Like, no, this dude is fucking owned. Like, get out of here. Mm-hmm. If they all believe that, and they all probably know way more than they're letting on, right? I think they know for a fact that he is. What do they do, right? Did they not do anything in 2016 because they thought, well, shit, Hillary will win, so we don't have to worry about it. Then he wins, and it's like, oh, fuck, it's too late. Or do you blow the whistle now, right? Like, do you come out, if you know shit, do you leak it to the press to try to blow this shit up before the election? Because to me, that might be the only way you can almost guarantee that he doesn't win, or you throw everything into massive question. But does that make democracy go completely to shit in the end?
Here's – I don't know, because the problem is too is that a lot of these fucking dudes like Mattis and Dan Coates and, you know, serious people still have this weird deference to the office that they can't seem to shake.
Right.
And they're worried about the precedent that they would set if they did it, which I can kind of understand.
I get that. I get it.
But
it's short-sighted, in my opinion.
If you were that worried about this guy, I would think you'd have to come forward. But again, the other problem is, too, is that you have these assholes that still probably want to work in the Washington sphere again at some point. And so they don't want to burn the bridge behind them either, because these fucking ghouls don't realize that, or they must not truly realize what could be at stake. You'd think they would.
Right. Like, we all see that this is a very, like, precipice of fascism sort of situation. I cannot imagine Coates doesn't see that. I can't imagine Mueller doesn't see that. I can't imagine Strzok doesn't see that. Right? Like, now, those guys are on the – or like John Brennan. Like, those guys are on the outside, so it's a little hard for them now. Mm-hmm. But there's got to be people on the inside who see this and who have way more information than even these guys had, right? The guys I just mentioned, because they've been in it still for another 4 years. The question is, are you willing to dime this guy out to save the democracy, or do you do what every other, you know, lackey does in a fascist regime, is you sit tight and you sit quietly hoping it won't get bad, and then it's too late? So I don't know what the answer to that question is. It's sort of a, I guess it's a rhetorical question in that mm-hmm. I'm not really asking for an answer, but I think it's something people should consider. Like, I don't know what these guys do. Like, what's the moral call? Do you take that moral call and say, fuck it, I'm going to put everything I have on the line to protect the country, right? Because that's what these guys are supposed to do. Mm-hmm. And their job is to defend the country generally from an outside force. And they fight that fight, and they do shit that we could never imagine that they do. And frankly, I don't fucking want to know. But when it comes from an internal aspect, are they capable of saying, this is wrong, I have to put my entire career on the line to fight against this?
Well, and I feel like that, and Mueller was guilty of this too. Like Mueller demurred in the report because he assumed wrongly that Congress would do its fucking job.
Right.
Not realizing that the Republican Party is in like Flint with Donald Trump, and they're going to stay that way. Because the most there's a lot of numbers that are bad news for Republicans that are floating around right now. Like, you know, Biden's leading in a lot of states, especially a lot of key swing states, and Trump's approval rating is dog shit and all this other stuff. But for me, for the Republican Party, the most dangerous number that they have to contend with right now is 93%. And it's the 93% approval rating that Trump has
right.
with Republican voters. Because it means, as much as you might want to distance yourself from this fuckstick, your voters aren't. And a lot of them are not going to come with you if you try to jump ship, basically. So what the fuck do they do? Because they want to continue to serve. They want to continue to have political office. So what do? You have to fucking go along for the ride, even though deep down you probably know this is a bad idea. this is really not good.
Right, but that's where I think that the Republican Party, and I'm not even talking about their voters.
Many of us have become very cynical about politics, but they've become like the ultimate cynicism party.
Yeah.
Because a lot of them, especially people that have been around for a long time, have seen the de-evolution of their party and what it's become under Trump.
Right.
And that has to be really disheartening to some respect to a serious conservative. Like, you know, in a dark moment, even a guy like Mitch McConnell, I'm sure, has a lot of regret for what the Republican Party has turned into.
Probably.
Yeah. Like, he's still getting his judges and whatnot, but I think if he was being candid, he would not like the direction that the Republican Party has gone in some ways.
Yeah, because he's an old school Republican.
Right.
He is. I mean, he's a piece of shit. But he's an old school Republican. But that's my question, right? Like, again, it's largely rhetorical, but what happens when these guys are pushed to the edge? Do you fight back? Do you actually go, yeah, okay, guys,
we've already seen it. We had the impeachment and we had the trial in the Senate.
Right. I mean,
again, they during the course of that trial, the Republican defense literally went from he didn't engage in a quid pro quo to, well, we really can't deny it, but at the same time, I don't think he should be removed from office over it.
Right.
Like in the span of that 2 weeks, it literally went from point A to point B.
Yeah.
Because they saw once the facts were laid out before them,
there was no argument.
They were indisputable.
Right.
So then you can't say, oh, well, he didn't do it. Well, yeah, he did it, but I'm still not going
to
vote.
Right. It doesn't rise to the level of it.
Right. So they had their opportunity to do it. And none of them, save for Mitt Romney, fucking did it.
Right. Which, by the way, boy, does that say a lot about him. Like, I'm not saying this dude is like some hero or whatever, but it says a lot to go against the tidal wave of your party. Unless you know
that he's the only serious Republican in the Senate and the House, for that matter, because you can't even count Justin Amash as a Republican anymore.
No, they bounce his ass.
Who's the only right winger that voted in the House in favor of impeachment?
Yeah.
So again, those two guys. That's it. That's literally the only serious, principled Republicans that exist in the federal government currently.
I'm less concerned about Congress because I think that die is cast. But I am concerned about what does like the FBI and the CIA do. Like, if you know that this guy is corrupt, mm-hmm. and not just like regular politician corrupt, right? Because like, everybody, oh, they're all corrupt. That's not what I mean. Like, there is a fundamental difference between like general, like, hey, let your cousin be the ambassador to fucking Barbados or whatever corruption, right? Like, everybody expects that type of shit, but. But this is a different thing. And if you don't do something soon, you're going to find yourself in a situation that is untenable, right? Like, he literally said this week, and it's not even, I don't think it's on the docket, he literally okayed extrajudicial murder this week about the sort of, I guess, like left-wing guy who shot a right-wing protester and killed him. Like, we had talked about that. Which that guy should have been arrested and, you know, tried and, you know, see what happens. But Trump went on like Laura Ingraham's show and he was like, well, there's got to be retribution because the cops like found the guy and he was trying to surrender and they shot him like 30 times. And it's like he killed a right-wing militia guy. He didn't kill a cop. Not that that would be acceptable, but it would be like you would be like, okay, well, of course, cops will fucking go super wild when you killed one of their own.
You know, tomato, tomato.
Right. I mean, one of their own, right? Like in quotes. But
you just say it, so.
Right. But.
Wait, we're behind the paywall. Yep. You know.
Yeah. I mean, fuck cops.
Yeah, that's true, too.
But.
That's probably our one content at this point.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, exactly. ACAB, my friend. But like. But that whole idea of what are they going to do, right? Like when this happens, it's like this guy is calling for extrajudicial murder. Oh, there has to be retribution. You're the president. You shouldn't say shit like that. So
again, but it's already happening. Like, right. Do you see a single? And again, you say, oh, you know,
where are the Republican
members? The die is cast. That they're the mechanism for taking care of this shit. Like, right. Like they're supposed to be the check on the executive branch, the primary check on the executive branch.
Right.
If they're not going to do the job, who the fuck is? Unless you want to just institute a coup, which, you know,
well, Brad, I don't know. Look, I'm not really a coup guy. Like that's not really my bag, but I'll watch it on TV. I mean, look, I would argue that if you were going to do a coup, or if you wanted the general, like if you lost an election and you were like, hey, keep me in power because I don't want to leave because I'm really scared of like the whole financial crime shit that I totally did. if you're trying to do a coup yourself as Trump, mm-hmm. pissing off the generals probably wasn't a good idea.
No. You also.
That's why I wasn't mad about that story. I was like, call the warmongers. Yeah, fuck those generals. Because they'd be like, oh, word? Cool. Yeah, get your ass the fuck up out of this White House.
You also probably shouldn't have your fucking hype man going on a radio show telling you to seize absolute power if you lose the election. That doesn't seem like a smart idea.
That's sedition, dude. Like, that's straight up fucking sedition. By the way, I know people are like, oh, nothing will happen to Roger Stone. Yeah, that's cool. If I'm Joe Biden, I throw Roger Stone in prison. I knew that's sedition. Like you're done. And like, that's a good reason to go to prison too. Like, that's not even a bullshit trumped up charge. Like, you know, no pun intended. That's a real good ass reason. Cause no judge in the world would be like, they look at that and be like, yeah, no, that's it. You nailed it. That is a direct definition. Thank you very much. You know, Roger Stone can't keep his stupid mouth shut. So he'd say something even dumber. No. So yeah, fuck him. Good. Goodbye. They go to jail. So from there, let's talk about Department of Homeland Security whistleblower story. It's one of two whistleblower stories this week, and this is the fun one.
That's an interesting guy.
That next story makes me so fucking angry. Department of Homeland Security official alleges in whistleblower complaint that he was told to stop providing intelligence analysis on the threat of Russian interference. The official Brian Murphy, who until recently was in charge of intelligence and analysis at DHS, said in a whistleblower complaint that on two occasions he was told to stand down on reporting about Russian threat and alleged that senior officials told him to modify other intelligence reports, including about white supremacists, shocking news, to bring them in line with the president's public comments, directions he said he refused. Yeah, this isn't a surprise, right?
I'm just, you know, it's amazing the de-evolution that's happened in a mere 3.5 years.
Didn't take long.
To the point where intelligence is now apparently completely politicized.
Yep.
Because the president has thin skin. about his legitimacy. And rightfully so. I mean, you know, the way he backed into the, backed into victory
right.
in 2016 is certainly worthy of scrutiny. But yeah, this is great. This is great. Good job acting Chad, knocking this stuff down.
Chad Wolf. I find this to be really fucking disturbing. I feel like it's not getting enough.
No, it's not.
News press? Like, I really don't feel like it is. I think that's really fucking serious.
The money quote is from Murphy himself, the whistleblower, talking to Chad Wolf, saying, quote, "It's improper to hold a vetted intelligence product for reasons of political embarrassment."
Yeah. Look, Trump is getting help from the Russians. It is explicit. It is wanted. It is being used. That is a fact.
The intelligence, even with this happening, the intelligence services in the country have already, like, even Robert O'Brien came out and fucking said that shit. And that dude sucks.
That dude sucks. Well, it's not something you can ignore at this point.
No.
It's very obvious what this is.
Yeah, it's just, like I said, it's insane. The whistleblower got busted down.
Of course.
From his position in July. Not surprising. Didn't realize that was legal either. You know, they're supposed to have anti-retaliatory stuff for whistleblowers, but fuck it.
No, he was really bad at his job. Yeah, we just happened to wait until right now when he said something
What are rules and laws, anyway?
Well, Brad, and what are amendments to the Constitution? What even are they?
I stopped at two, Jay. I don't know what you're talking about.
They're the only.
And I skimmed over one.
Like, right.
Two is the one that I really care about.
Well, freedom of speech. This applies to Facebook, right? All right, got
three's, it. Three's pretty good too. Three's pretty good too. I don't want any forced quartering of troops in my house.
All right. What are you, the Washington D.C. mayor? Get out of here. Boo. Yeah. So you wouldn't be trying to bury these reports unless you were trying to allow the Russians to interfere with an American election. I don't know. Like, I know that there will be many a crime that he will have to pay for if he loses when it comes to state level. But I can tell you this, if he loses and the AG under Biden does not go after him for this type of shit, we have not learned our lesson. We've not learned our lesson. He has to pay for this. Like, there needs to be, I would be like, look, Robert Mueller, you did a lot of work. I want the full Mueller report. I want it all. Like, you couldn't rehire Peter Strzok because he's too close to it. But I would be like, look, I mean, I would rehire him, but you couldn't have him do this. But I would be like, the counterintelligence people, you better go find me all of the information I'm looking for. Get it all. And all uncensored, I want it all. And I want to throw that shit out there. Just like they threw Hillary's bullshit emails about spirit cooking and all that other nonsense out there, I want the American people to know everything he did. You have to make it so that, you know how, like, there's only Roger Stone who's like, yeah, I love Richard Nixon. That's it. Like, Republicans act like Richard Nixon didn't even fucking exist. Like, right. if you ask Republicans, only Democrats voted for Richard Nixon, right? That is what you have to do with Trump. You have to make him nuclear. Like people don't want to be near him. They don't want to support
radioactive,
him.
I think you mean.
Yes, radioactive. Yes. Thank you. Ultimately, the same thing. Way different outcomes early on.
Very, very, very much so.
He's already a nuclear fucking problem. But you have to make him completely radioactive.
The problem is that whereas Republicans in the 70s were allowed to move away from Nixon because they eventually at, you know, the fucking 11th hour, but they were, right. they eventually came to the side of right on Nixon. We are not going to let these fuckers forget about the last four years, the last 8 years, really.
Yeah.
If you want to be serious about it, there's no way we're going to let them forget about this shit.
No. Yeah. You're not wrong. You're not wrong. I really don't want to do this story. I really don't.
It's really fucking bad.
It's real bad. And I don't want to rant. Like, I don't. But I.
Well, so let me preface your rant. And that is that. It does not appear, from at least the story that I'm reading, that you've linked, that this was done at the direction of the federal government. Like, it seems like that they allowed it to happen under their nose, but it wasn't something that was explicitly directed. That is the only remotely close to silver lining that I can muster about the story.
Yes, that's true. However, this story just broke today. Hold that fire.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see.
Right, like, because I don't know. And I don't think that I will be well if I find out that that's not true. Like, if I find out that that was a direction, mm-hmm. I think I will legitimately be distraught. And I'm not saying that to like be dramatic. I will legitimately be distraught. Like, there's one thing to have shitty people do shitty things. Mm-hmm. It's another thing to have shitty people do shitty things at the direction, like an official direction. Like, somebody was like, no, do those shitty things, right? Like, that's a different story. So right now, this is just shitty people doing shitty things. So there's another whistleblower complaint from an ICE detention center. The complaint alleges that there's at least one doctor there who's giving out what they refer to as mass hysterectomies to these women who are locked in these ICE detention centers. If you're unaware of what a hysterectomy is, it is when they remove basically all the parts of the woman's uterus so she can't have kids, right? And they're doing it unnecessarily to a ton of women at this ICE detention center. This is the Irwin County Detention Center in Georgia specifically. The nurse, Dawn Wooten, was employed at the ICDC in Georgia, which is operated by LaSalle Corrections, a private prison company. The complaint was filed with the Office of the Inspector General for the Department of Homeland Security by advocacy groups Project South, Georgia Detention Watch, Georgia Latino Alliance for Human Rights, and South Georgia Immigrant Supports Network. Multiple women came forward to tell Project South about what they perceived to be an inordinate rate at which women in ICDC were subjected to hysterectomies, a surgical operation in which all the parts of the uterus is removed. Additionally, many of the immigrant women who underwent the procedure were reportedly confused when asked to explain why they had the surgery, with one detainee likening their treatment to prisoners in concentration camps. Recently, a detained immigrant told Project South that she talked to five different women detained at ICDC between October and December 2019 who had hysterectomies done. When she talked to them about the surgery, the women reacted confused when explaining why they had one done. The woman told Project South that it was as though the women were trying to tell themselves it's going to be okay. Look, I am not a woman. I don't have a uterus. But I'm a human being. And what this feels like to me is almost like a Nazi experimentation type shit on mm-hmm. on people that you have in captivity.
Or not even that. Oh, not that it's not like Naziist in many ways. It absolutely is. It sure seems like that this doctor, and I hope it's just the doctor acting unilaterally.
Like, I hope so.
It's not being directed by anybody. Sure seems like you have a doctor that is like, I'm going to forcibly sterilize these women.
Correct.
Because I don't think they should be able to reproduce because they're legal immigrants, and this is my, for whatever reason, he wants to
do moral duty or whatever.
Right, or whatever. So
Yo,
that's what it seems like. It's pretty fucking horrifying.
I don't even know how to react to this besides like getting really angry. Like, I really don't. Like, it. What the fuck are we doing? What the fuck are we doing? And the look. I don't know how else I can feel about this except for what I'm going to tell you. If you say that Donald Trump and Joe Biden are the same, I don't know what the fuck planet you live on. I don't know what planet you live on. Well, I'm not going to vote for Joe Biden because he's basically going to be like Trump. Wake the fuck up. This is a real thing that is happening. This is a real thing that's happening. Yo, they are literally sterilizing women across the border just because they're fucking Latino. That's it. That's it. You think Joe Biden is going to do this? You really believe that? You really believe Hillary Clinton was going to be cool with this shit?
We're not even that Joe Biden's going to do it. Do you think he's going to have a Department of Homeland Security
that would allow this?
That would allow this to happen.
Right. And again, I'm not saying Trump was like, gave the call down. Oh, sterilize them. I'm not saying that. That's not what we're saying. But you're telling me they would fucking be cool with this shit? They would hire people who would do this? Because people go, kids came across the border and they were separated from their parents under Trump. That's basically the same thing that was happening with Obama. One, no, it wasn't. Two, there's a tad bit of nuance. I know people fucking are against that these days because fuck it. It's way easier to just not give a shit about details. Would you care to point to the direction where this was happening? Right? Do you want to justify this shit? What the fuck are we doing?
Again, fish rots from the head, man. Like I said, when you're a piece of shit, you're going to point other pieces of shit.
Yep.
And the direction that's going to be given from the top is going to be shitty. And again, we're not saying that the fuck federal government said go find the sterilization doctors. I hope.
But give it a week. Give it a week.
But this is why I
honestly can't say that they don't. Like, I can't say that they wouldn't.
But this is why leadership matters.
Yeah.
As much as it does. Because who the president is doesn't just determine specific policies. It determines a general idea of what governance is.
Yeah.
On the federal level. And people... We get so wrapped up in the person in the chair that people fundamentally don't. And this is not a right exclusive problem. This is a problem all across America. People don't really understand how the government actually works.
No.
They don't. They don't understand how agencies work. And I'm not saying you need like the fucking nuts and bolts, you know, nuanced view of it, but at least a general view would be helpful. There's a reason why cabinet appointments are super important. Like we talk about them, and again, the left is as guilty of this as all. We fucking write these off as if they're just like trivial things. No, it matters a lot. It matters a lot that Betsy DeVos is in charge of the Department of Education because of her views on education, because that is going to determine the general tenor of how that department is going to run under her.
Yeah.
It very much matters that you have a fucking Raytheon lobbyist as the Department of Defense, because that very much determines the general tenor of how the department is going to run under him. You can't, this shit doesn't happen in a vacuum. There are trickle on effects that come with every decision. And again, we're not saying it directly led to this, but I would have trouble seeing this happening in an administration who isn't treating these people the way that the Trump administration has outwardly wanted to, has talked about treating these people.
I mean, he called them rapists and murderers, full stop, the very time he announced his presidency.
Like they've literally said like the detention camps and the family separation, they're doing it on purpose. They're doing it to deter people.
Right. To hurt people.
Right. And what they don't appreciate is that these people, even in the face of this, are still leading the situations they're leading because they're worse.
Yeah.
They're worse.
They're doing exactly what you would do.
So you're just being, right. They're just being cruel. The government is just being cruel for the sake of, for cruelty's sake.
Yeah, that's it.
So this is incredibly disturbing. I hope DHS does a good faith investigation into this. And I really hope that the findings are made public. I hope that anyone that's responsible for this gets brought up on charges. And like I said, it's what a fucking terrifying story. And this is not things like this have happened in society before, obviously not on a wide scale like this. I mean, not to trivialize this, but
right.
This was literally the plot of a Law and Order episode 20 years ago.
God damn it, bro.
And they take all their shit from the headlines.
Huh. They rip them from the headlines.
They do rip them. So it's terrible. But and again, just another fucking thing that these people who are, again, they're just trying to flee extreme poverty and, you know, just trying to make a better life for themselves. And I'm not saying, again, no one on the left that I know is advocating for just fucking opening the borders and just letting people flow in.
Right.
But you don't have to do what's being done.
Yeah, I feel like a parent who is so angry that they just tell their kid that they're disappointed, right? Like, they're just so mad, like, they can't muster the level of anger that it would require. I am disgusted. I am disgusted to read that story. What?
And again, I'm past, like, what's going to make me more upset than the story, as people get keen on it, is the defense that's going to come from people on the right. Like, that's going to be more upsetting, because we have part of this country that has just decided that that no offense is too far.
No,
that everything's acceptable as long as, you know.
Yep. You know what? I'm just going to say it on the show right now. Anybody who defends it, I'm just going to call you a Nazi. Period. You're a Nazi. You're just a Nazi, dude. Like, what else? What else? What is left? What is left? I can create a fourth account. I'm okay with that. Like, I'll be fine. I'll be fine. No, you're a Nazi, man. You're a Nazi. Like,
it's and again,
it's insane. It's insane.
I often wonder, were I thrown into certain points in history, where I'd lie,
right?
And we're all the hero of our own story. We all like to think that.
Yeah, you do well.
We end on the side of we end on the side of virtue and right history.
I'm not going earlier than the 1980s. I'm black. Fuck that.
I don't understand. There's a lot of people out there who are. I really don't think if you would like where you would have lied on issues, had you been alive in certain periods. Like, everyone out there that fucking quote MLK,
right,
but will fucking cast dispersions on the Black Lives Matter protest, yeah, you would have been that same dude in 1966.
Oh, 100%.
You would have been 100%. The same shit's happening. Right. It's the same fucking thing.
I would have been different, bro.
Like okay. there's a political cartoon,
okay,
from
Ted,
the 60s that resurfaced of MLK, you know, saying to a police officer, now here, you know, here's going to be the time of our next peaceful protest. And in the background, there's, like, you know, looting and rioting going on behind them,
right,
being done by black people.
Right.
It's the same shit. It's the same
nothing
shit
50 has
years later. Nothing has changed at all. And but people are like, oh, well, Martin Luther King was a peaceful protester. He was fucking hated.
Yeah.
By the country when he was alive.
I don't know. Like, do people know a white dude murdered him? Like, do you, right, people aware of the history there?
Like you would have been in the same fucking boat back then.
Absolutely.
You would have been in the same fucking boat back then. And again, with Nazi Germany, I'm not saying that everyone would have been a fucking Nazi, but you'd have been susceptible to it.
100%. 100%.
Well, the trains certainly are running on time. Like, I don't like the whole Jew killing thing.
I mean, but this guy's got, I mean, his transportation is amazing.
I can get to Hamburg when I'm supposed to for work. So, you know,
I don't know. Is
a little column A, a little column B.
Right. Is Adolf that bad for us? I mean, fiscally, the country's not doing the best, but okay, we'll see.
Look at all the new land
we're acquiring.
We're building. Yeah.
So I always wanted a cottage in France. fucking boot-looking assholes. No, I just, that story just makes me so angry, dude. Like, I could not believe when I read that. I'm like, what the fuck? What is happening now?
And it's just what is happening? Everything else that's been going on with family separations. It's the fucking cherry on top of the whole Sunday that whole situation has been.
Yeah. I just want to fucking punch that guy right in the fucking face. I wrote on the docket, Brad, don't read this, because I wanted your reaction on the show. I don't know if you saw this.
Oh, we're doing this. I did see this.
I like
who,
that.
Who the go ahead. You can read the headline, because I have a question.
Before you say your question, I just want because I know Micah and Terrence will eventually listen to this episode, and I talked to them about this story, and I had a question when I read this headline, and I'm going to tell you whether it's the exact question that I had, my guess is it probably is pretty close. So the headline is, Trump suggests he would negotiate a third term as president because he's probably, quote unquote, probably entitled to it. And what is your question, Brad?
There's a noun that would probably preface your question that I can't say.
Yeah. Okay. Go ahead. That's fair. That's fair.
Who are you going to negotiate
with? Thank you. That was my exact question. Who are you negotiating with? I didn't even use that word.
Like I said, there's a word that you could say at the beginning of that sentence that would really just land it home. Right. I'm not privy to be able to say.
Exactly.
But
who the fuck are you
negotiating with? The Constitution?
Right.
Because that's the thing that's preventing you from having a third term.
Right. Dude. Are you negotiating with the ghost of FDR? Like, who are you negotiating with? It doesn't make any sense. You're negotiating?
Negotiating with who?
It's the law. It's the law. Also,
are you gonna call a constitutional convention to temporarily repeal the 22nd Amendment? Like, is that your fucking game plan here? So that you could try to serve a third term?
Can you imagine if he tried that?
Think he would? You don't think if he wins re-election that would absolutely happen?
No, I don't. At some point? No, I don't. I think he would just try to do it. I don't think he would try to call those laws. Fuck laws. Like, he doesn't. His whole thing is that people cannot imagine him existing, which is someone who cares nothing for the rules. He's not gonna put himself within the rules. He's just gonna do it. He would just file for re-election, and people would be like, you can't do that. And then he would just be like, he'd just show up on stage and be like, I'm the incumbent. I'm running again. And then he would just normalize it until everybody was like, I guess. He won't win again. He could be on the ballot. And then he'd try it.
I hate to say this.
You try it.
I hate to say this. I do feel when he fucking runs this shtick, because this is now like a part of his fucking stump speech at this point, which is insane. But
yeah, it's well, and his people are just like, yeah, it's hilarious. I'm like, he's not kidding.
I do feel like that line is thrown out there specifically
to own the libs,
just to trigger the libs to use right wing parlance.
I don't think so.
I do. Do you really think that fucking 76-year-old Donald Trump would want to run for president again?
No, I don't. But financial criminal Donald Trump does.
Yeah, but he'd be clear at that point of the current crimes. There'd probably be all new crimes
there's,
that he'd
have to. Oh, don't worry. New York is new, like, Tish James is doing a Birdman hand rub waiting for his ass to get out of office. No, they will find shit. Because they can get shit on the Trump work. They don't have to get it on him. He'd fuck up his kids. Fuck them up. Yeah, no. Mm-mm.
Like I said,
I don't think he ever wants to leave office again. Ever.
I do truly think that it is a line. I can't believe I'm doing this. I feel like it's a line that's there.
I can't believe you're doing this either.
I know. I feel like it's a line that's there just to kind of like what he's trying to say is that like, look how shitty they treated me. I should get another 4 years. I don't think he would actually, because it would literally require a constitutional amendment.
That's correct.
Not an easy thing to do.
He doesn't have 67% of the
67. Try 75.
I thought it was 67%. You needed.
No.
Is it two-thirds? I thought it was two-thirds.
For an amendment, it's three-quarters. It's 75. It's like 33 states or whatever it is.
Yeah, no, he could probably get that, right?
I don't think so.
No, we're never going to pass a constitutional amendment on anything ever again.
You're right.
I don't think he's kidding. No, I don't think so. I think it's like, ha, 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 unless you're going to do it. Like, I think it's...
Here's what I would like to do. Anyone that supports him, I would like you to explain to me cogently why this would be fine. If he was serious.
He just said. It's not fair. They went after him.
Okay. Right? Obama got treated like shit for his first 4 years.
First eight.
And the last four.
Right. I'll be honest. Like, I put this story on, but I'll be honest. I have a surprising view on this. I think he should negotiate for his third term. And I'm willing to play ball. However, here are my negotiating terms. Obama gets an extra eight because he got screwed for 8 years. He got screwed out of a SCOTUS seat. He should get that. He got screwed out of 8 years of obstructionism. So he should get 8 years.
You know,
and the SCOTUS seat.
Let's be fair. 6 years of obstructionism.
Okay. Okay.
We'll give him six.
We'll give Obama gets 6 extra years, no obstructionism. Right? You gotta let the man do what he's gotta do. If he's got the seats and he can do it, no filibuster, right? You just gotta let this dude rot, right? You gotta let him do his thing. He gets 6 years and a SCOTUS seat and whatever other SCOTUS seats come up at the time, right? Like, he just gets a freebie, right? So he gets to pull Kavanaugh off or Gorsuch. Kavanaugh. Fuck Kavanaugh.
It would technically be Gorsuch.
Yeah, I know, but fuck Kavanaugh specifically. So he gets to choose. Obama gets to choose who he gets to pull off the bench immediately and replace. Though the better choice would be replace RBG immediately and then you'd be fine, right? Then you work to get those other assholes off. Anyway, so he gets one seat. He gets 6 years. Obama gets to do his 6 years first. Then Trump gets his 4 years after that. So he has to live another 6 years and be cogent and win an election. He's got to win an election.
He has to win the election. Let me up the ante.
All right.
Obama, when he's getting his 6 years back, another choice gets to be made. But it's not made by him or the Republicans. It's made by Joe Lieberman, where we either get the public option or Joe Lieberman gets kicked in the balls 100 times.
Mm.
And no public option. So Joe Lieberman gets to decide.
Okay, I like that.
Public option, or do I get kicked in the balls 100 times?
And it's got to be what's the soccer player? Ronaldo? Right? Like, I need a professional kicker. No, that's fine.
I feel like you want an NFL punter then.
Yeah, okay. I like that. I like those odds. Yeah, no, that's not bad. All of that, Obama gets all of that, and after his 6 years, then Trump gets the chance to run again. He gets a chance to run again. Because it's not about just getting a do-over. You got to run again. Because that's what the third term would be him. He's got to run. So he gets a chance to run a third time. Fine. Yeah, okay, good. I'm cool with it. I think that's reasonable. Joe Lieberman gets punted in the dick 400 times, or we get the public option. Joe, that's really up to you. Your call. Either way, I feels like a win-win, right?
I'd be disappointed not getting the public option, but it would be fun to watch Joe Lieberman get kicked in the dick 100 times.
Dude, like, kick three, he is in a world of trouble, right? Like he's just throwing up at that point, and you're just watching it and you're just laughing. So it's like, oh, my cancer, but this is still pretty good, right? Like, yeah, it's still working out. Yeah, so I'm okay with him negotiating his third term as long as Obama gets six, a SCOTUS just, seat.
Like, does he truly think he's the first American president that's faced scrutiny from the other side of the aisle and from the media?
He says that he had it worse than Abraham Lincoln.
Who got shot in the head. I've heard it. I've heard him say it before.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's still hard to believe.
He said it recently.
It's still hard to believe.
Like, yo, he was shot like in said, the dude, fucking head.
Dude made people so mad that half the country was like, peace. And
yeah.
Somehow Trump had it worse.
Yeah, he did. They started a fucking war. Amazing. Amazing. Trump campaign spends almost more than $800 million of its billion-dollar war chest, because grifters got a grift, and grifters love having other grifters around them.
There are so many interesting things in this article. So, first of all, for me the most eye-popping stat is that the campaign spent $350 million. Which is almost half of the $800 million total spend so far, to fundraise.
Yeah.
It's literally the definition of throwing good money after bad.
That is correct.
It's like, it is literally the definition of this. Yeah, like I said.
They came in bills, like $100 million less than Joe Biden did this month.
Yeah. Their legal bills were written off to the campaign because of course
they were.
Of course. Amazing. More on that later. Let's see here. And they've been running rallies since weeks after he was inaugurated. Like that's the problem when you start running for president as soon as you become president, is that this shit costs money. Now, I'm glad that the campaign has had to bear that burden. Like, I was very worried that, you know, they were using these campaign events on taxpayer dime because they were contriving dipshit reasons for Trump to do presidential stuff.
Yeah, I thought they were going to come into this campaign with like $1 billion more.
Well, they should have had an amazing advantage.
Nope.
They've had all this time, and they're the incumbent. The incumbent inherently has an advantage.
Nope. They are edging towards, as the article says, a money crunch, because they only had $200 million left. That's all they had.
Yeah, that's incredible. And to your point, there's no way that all of this money found its way back into the campaign.
No fucking way, dude. No way. People got fucking paid. Yeah, shout out to, Brad Parcell or whatever his name is, former campaign manager. He liked to call Trump's reelection war machine an unstoppable juggernaut. Yeah, I'm sure he did, as he was just putting millions of dollars in his own fucking pocket.
He literally, once the campaign like started in earnest, like once the primary started, he literally tweeted that the Death Star was operational. An interesting choice of metaphor for a variety of different reasons. Right.
Yeah, that shit got blown up, and then they rebuilt it, and that shit got blown up again.
Right. But not only that, but again, the Death Star is like the symbol of fascism in the Star Wars universe. Like, it's not.
These guys don't really get that. Like,
no. It's
in 2018, was it? Mm-hmm. They put Trump's face on Thanos' body. They're like, yes, he's ruling the universe. I was like, you guys know he's the villain who's going to lose to the more patriotic old man from a time bygone. Like, are you aware of this?
As Andy would say, that's not the subtext. That's just the text.
That's just the text. Subtext is fucking dead, man.
That's just the text. Oh, yeah. And again, like all this money that's been spent, and Joe Biden still leading the national polls by like what, 8 points?
Eight or nine.
Low end, right now.
Yeah, 8 or 9.
Yeah, and there's a they talked to Ed Rollins, who's a well known Republican strategist, saying that, quote, "I think a lot of money was spent when voters weren't paying attention." Again. Probably not a good idea to start running for president as soon as you become president.
He literally started his re-election campaign on Inauguration Day.
Right. Like, literally might want to just be the president for a few months before trying to run again. But again, as we've talked about, he would never do that because running for president's like the only thing that he's kind of good at.
Yeah.
Being the president sure shit isn't.
Yeah, it's all about that perception of like fighting this huge enemy and all that stuff. Like the day to day shit is not, he's not interested in that. He's not interested in that at all. So Cool. Whatever.
I mean, the fact that Joe Biden now has a fundraising advantage and he's in the lead. Is not good.
That's bonkers, man.
For Republicans.
It's not.
It's not good at all. And the fact that Biden has so much money, I mean, he literally more than doubled Hillary Clinton's, was it the August?
Yeah, August, the August numbers.
Pool.
Yep.
Like, again, Hillary Clinton had to be very strategic about where they spent. And she chose poorly. I mean, she ignored, you know, Wisconsin, Michigan. That could have meant the election.
Right, exactly.
Joe Biden's like, oh, we got that shit unlocked. Let me throw some money in Texas. Let me throw some That's money right. in Georgia. Let me throw some money in these states that are long shots. But if we get them, we're good to go. To just to illustrate the importance.
By the way, Joe Biden raised $364.5 million in August.
That's a lot of fucking
money. That's a fuck ton of money, dude.
Just to put things in perspective, like Texas, again, if that were to happen, if the election results stay, if the state results stayed the same from last year, but you flip Texas.
That's it.
That's literally the election.
That's it.
Like Joe Biden, like even if he were to lose Michigan, Wisconsin.
Wouldn't matter.
And Pennsylvania and Arizona, by the way, which Hillary Clinton did not win, but. Joe Biden is well on track to winning.
Yeah, he actually could take it. Yep.
I mean, being Mark, you know, Mark Kelly's beating the brakes off of Martha. Yo, right now.
Yo. Arizona, Trump versus Biden today. Biden is up by 10.
Yeah. Well, again, that's the knock-on effect from the fact that they ran one of the worst Senate candidates again.
Garbage. Like, wow.
Like all those states could stay with Trump, and if you flip Texas, you would still win the election if you're Joe Biden.
Yep.
Because that's an 88 vote swing, if I'm not mistaken.
It's up there. I'm not exactly sure how many, but it's quite a few.
So and the fact that Biden is gonna be able to compete in Texas is astounding. And the fact that he has the resources to spend to compete in Texas
right.
is astounding.
Yep. Trump was up early last month. Trump was up in Texas by 6 and 7 points by two different polls. There's not a lot of polling out of Texas. Mm-hmm. But by the time the end of the month came around to early September, Trump is only up by 2 points in Texas. It's not a lot, man. I don't know what the margin of error is. For that particular poll, I can look it up, but
it's probably within the
margin. It's probably my guess is with it's like 3 points, right? Like,
yeah,
it's you know, that's normally it. So, but again, margin of error is 2.87%. So yeah, so that's pretty much locked up, which is crazy in Texas. Mm-hmm. And again, that was at the beginning of the month. I mean, what is today? It's the middle of the month. So you don't know where it's going to go. And like shit, like, you know, shitting on the troops, That shit doesn't play well in Texas, man. Like, it doesn't.
If you, I mean, I saw an electoral map that somebody made the other day that if you exclude the states that are safe Republican and leaning Republican, and you just assume that Biden gets all the leaning Democrat and toss up states right now,
right?
Biden would have like 370 electoral votes or something stupid like that.
Again,
when it's all said and done,
like again. I don't get spooked about talking about that. Run the scoreboard up. Your goal as a voter is to embarrass this nigga, yo. That is your goal, yo. Like, don't let this dude, like, lose by, oh, he lost by 3 electoral votes. Fuck that. I want people to be like, yo, Biden won Texas? Jesus Christ. And Florida? Like, I want him to be embarrassed. I want that camera, that moment on fucking election night where they go, and we're going over to the Trump camp, and it's just all those people like with MAGA hats looking sad as fuck. Good. I want them to be upset. I want those fuckers to feel like I felt on November in 2016 when that election was stolen. That's what I want them to feel. Except not stolen this time, just having the bricks beaten off of them. That's what I want. Because I cannot take another fucking evening of a Democrats losing to this fucking clown shoes ass. Asshole. But yeah, I mean, Biden is up by 3 points in Florida right now. I mean, it's probably within the margin of error, so that's probably pretty tied up too. But I want to make it so that we're not talking about Florida every fucking time. They're a pain in the ass. Eliminate them from all this bullshit. Like, go after Texas.
No, don't worry. COVID's doing a pretty good job of that right now. Just saying.
It is. Not a bad point. Sad, but not a bad point. Next up, Department of Justice working to intervene. I forgot this was this week. Jesus Christ.
Well, to be fair, it was at the beginning of last week. So yeah. I get why you forgot about it.
Yeah, I put this on when it came out. I'm like, this is an important case. And it's like one of the last stories. Yeah, Department of Justice has decided that they're going to use taxpayer money, our money, to defend a rapist.
So when this story came out, people jumped to an incorrect conclusion. The conclusion that people jumped to when the story first came out is the DOJ is going to defend the president from rape allegations. Not entirely true. They're trying to take over his defense of a defamation of character lawsuit that E. Jean Carroll brought against him, not for the alleged sexual assault, but for Trump's denial of the alleged sexual assault.
Right.
That he made recently, within the past, you know, when the story came out a year or so ago. Now, the DOJ's defense for this is that they, they're not the president's attorneys, but in the president's capacity as president, if he's doing his duties as president,
right,
and he gets a lawsuit brought against him, someone tries to sue him, the DOJ does defend
sure. The
president in those cases.
Absolutely.
That is precedent. It's happened before.
Yeah, it's normal.
It's not new. That's what's there. The argument, though, is that Trump denying sexual abuse allegations or sexual assault allegations, I don't understand how you can say that falls in his purview as the of his duties as the president of the United States.
Right. This was in the 90s. It's in the 90s. I mean, granted, yes, the case is now.
As we say all the time. So like, this has nothing to do with being the president in this case. And shutting the fuck up is free. Like you have spokespeople that can speak for you in these situations.
You have lawyers,
right? That can speak for you that you don't have to speak yourself. Again, he's incapable of shutting the fuck up.
No, but he wants his boy on this, right?
Of course.
Barr's an asshole, but Barr's really smart. Like he's really quite good. I don't want my taxpayer money going to stopping Donald Trump from giving up his DNA because this woman has jizz on her dress. I need my tax dollars to go to convicting and throwing this asshole in prison for this. Her response is interesting. She was like, bring it on. Okay, look, it's a simple question. Give me that DNA, yo. Just do a test. That's it. You can say, I was lying, whatever. Cool. No problem. I'm lying. Then why is there jizz on my dress? Because he says he's never been with this woman.
Here's my question.
That's it.
So let's assume you have the DOJ do this and they represent your interest. How do you think it looks when the Department of Justice is forced to settle with this person that's bringing a defamation lawsuit that's tied to a sexual assault allegation?
I wouldn't settle. If I was her, no. There ain't no settling. No. Give me that DNA, yo. That's it. Like, there's no settling. Fuck that. I don't want money. See, like, there's part of this, like, there's levels to this shit. No. I would be like, I don't need your money. That would be my first thing. I'd be like, I want the truth. Because they're like, she just wants money. I'd be like, I don't want money. I'm good. Don't worry about it. I don't even want money. I want the DNA. Give me the DNA. Do the test. Just do the test. Look, if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. I'm lying, I'm lying. Cool. Just do the test. You got to be pretty fucking confident if you have a dress with a dude's jizz on it that you've been holding for like 25 years and you're like, do the test? Do the test.
But here's the other issue. So let's assume that whether you settle or whether the case goes forward or not, the Department of Justice is alleging that this was done in his duties as president. Who's paying that settlement fee? Or who's paying that those damages?
Mexico. Mexico is going to pay for those settlements. Right? Like, I assume it's got to be Mexico.
I don't understand why people who have told us for years and are supposedly about smaller government and our tax dollars not being frivolously spent on bullshit.
Right.
Don't get more up in arms about this stuff.
But what about Cardi B?
They're always very quiet when it comes to stories like this. And that's very curious to me. Because again, it almost makes it seem like that all these years that you fucking said this shit, you might have been talking out of your ass a little bit. Or a lot of it. In that case. And what's really true is that you just don't like Democrats. Which you could just say. Like, I feel like you could just say that and
we don't know.
We'd be in a disagreement, but I'd at least be aware of your stance.
I can respect people more who just yell libtard than people who try to try to lie and pretend that everything is like you're making a fair argument that it comes from honesty, like
you're sitting in some fucking ivory tower of morals,
and
higher understanding. You're a fucking idiot.
No, it's all a lie. I saw that clip today. I hadn't seen it in a long time of like Eric Trump. He's like, somebody called my dad a piece of shit, and it was just really wrong. And cursing. You shouldn't call people names. It's so juvenile. And they cut to like clips of Trump. He's like, knock the shirt out of him. Lying Hillary, fuck that guy, burn this shit down. It's like, you shouldn't curse. It's really morally wrong. It's like, dude, please. Please.
Like I said, as we've determined, conservatives at the end of the day, there's two things that are hard and fast. What core beliefs that they have. They need a daddy to keep them safe.
Oh yeah.
And by safe I mean protected from black and brown people.
That's correct.
And they need someone to cut their taxes. Everything outside of those two things is completely negotiable.
You're not wrong, dude. Jesus. Yeah. I don't care for them. I don't fundamentally. I just don't care for them. All right. Last but not least story. Rudy Giuliani is working with a Russian agent, guys. I don't know if you guys knew this. Shocking news breaking. This Washington Post opinion article, the strongest evidence yet of Trump's ongoing collusion with Russia. I disagree. It's not the strongest, but it's one of them. Treasury Department on Thursday imposed sanctions against Andrei Dirchik, or Dirkak, a member of Ukraine's parliament who was described as an active Russian agent for over a decade. Treasury says that Dirkak has been complicit in foreign interference in the attempt to undermine the upcoming 2020 presidential election. For example, by releasing edited audio tapes and other unsupported information with the intent to discredit U.S. officials. And this is the guy Giuliani has been like getting information from, that he's been pushing into Congress. This is a guy that Paul Manafort worked with at one point. So all of these guys, they were all cool with him and, you know, giving him information and getting information from him. Yeah, it turns out he's a Russian agent. On a scale of shock to, yeah, no kidding, where are you, Brad? Where are you on this?
I mean, the interview that he did on MSNBC with Jonathan Capehart is pretty much it sums it up, because he basically is like Capehart was talking to him, and he's like, you're used to be a prosecutor at SDNY. You used to be a mayor of New York.
Right.
You have a national security forum. How did you not vet this guy again? Like, how could you not learn and figure out that he was a Russian agent before you talked to him? And Giuliani's defense is, oh, look at the Mueller team, and he made them wipe their cell phones, and he just like held up a fucking cell phone like on MSNBC, and Kipper's like, what the fuck are you talking about? Like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
Of course. I mean, they don't have anything, dude. He don't have nothing. He don't have shit.
And like they're like, hey, here's the Treasury Department. They've done this investigation, and they've, you know, they sanctioned him. And, you know, Giuliani's like, well, I don't know that he's a Russian agent still, even despite that. I don't know. Like, this is your boy's Treasury Department, dude. It's fantastic. God. He tried to throw Lev Parnas under the bus, you know, his former BFF.
Lev Parnas. That's fucking hilarious. You throwing that guy under the bus? Come on, man.
Right.
Thought that was your boy.
And it's just, I don't, Rudy Giuliani, at least he's somewhat entertaining.
He is entertaining. I need him to go to prison though. Like that would be very entertaining to me.
That'd be good. God, remember when we used to like take that dude seriously?
Yeah, he used to be America's mayor.
Well, not to folks that were in the know.
Oh, he used to be.
Yeah,
that poor bastard.
Still racist. He was still a racist asshole back then.
He's off. Well, he's mobbed up. Of course, he's a racist. Right. Yeah, they called.
I didn't know it back then.
Yeah, I mean, they called black people eggplants. Yeah. Guys, come on. Anyone ever seen a Spike Lee movie? Italians hate black people in New York. That's how it goes.
Again, he's at this point, if you want to just like throw his picture next to the term useful idiot in the dictionary.
Yeah.
I don't think you'd be too off base, honestly.
No, you would not be. He sucks in regards to that. He absolutely fucking sucks. All right. Any other parting words before we get out of here there, Brad?
I can't believe it's only 7 weeks until the election. Going to be seven of the quickest and longest weeks of our entire lives.
Is it only 2 weeks until the debate?
Oh, Lord.
Oh, we didn't talk about that last week. Trump's not preparing. He's not doing prepare. He's not doing debate.
Well, I mean, you know, he's better when he's off the cuff anyway, Jay, don't you know?
Off the cuff and high as a fucking kite.
Well, you know, there's going to be a lot of sniffing going on, I'm going to say. Again, this is going to, like, when I watch these debates, and it's going to be awful, we're going to be seeing...
What? I'm sorry. Trump accepts invitation for fourth debate moderated by Joe Rogan?
Oh, you didn't see that? Yeah, someone was floating out. I don't remember. It was probably Rogan himself. like Rogan offering to host a 4-hour debate.
I'm not watching. No,
no, I don't think Biden would
ever. No, fuck right off.
Such a thing. So get the fuck out of here with that. But again, you're going to see the, you're going to see the two realities of America, because Trump's going to be awful compared to Biden in that debate.
Of course.
But somehow his supporters are going to be walking away from it thinking that he absolutely destroyed Joe Biden.
Oh yeah, I already see shit online. Oh, he's going to, he doesn't want those debates. I was like,
there. No, he really does.
No, he does.
He really, really does.
Yeah. Are you serious? Like, I think what's going to end up happening is I think that you're also going to see the media's change on how to handle debates with him. Like, I don't understand why they don't do it. But I think you should get, when they say, oh, you got 3 minutes to answer this question, you get 3 minutes and like 15 seconds. And then they cut your mic. Just cut your mic. Mm-hmm. That's it. That is how you will have a great debate where people have to, there's no rambling. There's no like interrupting. None of that. Just let people talk about their ideas. That's it. I'm not interested in the show. I'm interested in what they actually have to say.
Well, now, with this first debate, have they said whether or not there's going to be an audience or not?
Oh, that's a good question. I don't know. I would imagine it's not.
Because I think, well, I would hope not, because for obvious reasons, but I think that if there is not, that advantages Biden tremendously.
Oh, yeah.
You don't have a crowd to play off of Trump when he says his fucking dumb nonsense and the Yahoo conservatives in the crowd. Fucking great.
Yeah.
Like if he's forced to just ramble to nobody.
He won't do
and
well.
And he just looks like a fucking blathering idiot.
Oh,
that,
I like
that's going to go great.
First presidential debate, Brad, is September 29th.
Oh my God, it's the day before my birthday.
Yeah, congratulations.
What a sad fucking present for me.
Tuesday, September 29th.
To have to actually, like, the one time every 4 years that I'm forced to watch Fox News.
that's the question. Will it have an audience?
I hope not. For a lot of reasons.
I hope it's not. I don't think they should. I don't think they should.
It is mind-boggling that he's not going to prepare, though, because he's going to look
insane.
Badly outclassed next to Biden, because they're going to talk about issues, and Trump's going to do what Trump does when he doesn't have the answer to things, and that's just
bloviate
word salad his way into rhetoric. Yeah. Whereas Biden's going to be the only guy that has like a cohesive plan, like a step by step plan. Here's what we're going to do.
Right. I think people.
Here's how we're going to solve coronavirus.
Right. Like I think Trump and the right made a fatal mistake when they talk about the debates, the primary debates for the Democrats. And they're like, Joe Biden looked terrible. He must be on fucking cocaine or whatever. It's because he was debating other people who were just better debaters. Trump is not a better debater than Joe Biden.
Well, again, as we saw, Biden got better when the stage got smaller.
Yeah. He can't find his way when there's too many people. He just can't.
Right. When there's too many people and he's fighting for space, he's much better when he's actually given more than 90 seconds to elaborate on a response.
Right.
And he doesn't have to compete for time, you know, shout for time over, you know, other nine other people that are on the stage.
Right.
Again, just go back to the Sanders debate. The Sanders debate easily by any measurable margins, the very best that Biden looked during the entire cycle. That was the very last debate that they had. And that was also a chance for Biden just to fucking show off and strut his stuff. Like Bernie was already done. At that point, like he was already pretty much mathematically eliminated. And that was just kind of the, you know, this is what I'm going to push you on
right
when you're the nominee kind of deal.
Right. And that's okay.
And
I'm
so
totally fine with that.
Biden just got to go up there and right. Yeah. Biden got to go up there and just fucking speak his truth. And
yeah,
he looked great doing
it.
And again, you're going to go up against the fucking rambling psychotic that doesn't have a plan for anything. Okay.
Look, it's all going to look. My debate prep, it's all just going to go away eventually. Like, it's all going to go away. Don't worry about it. It's all going to cool down. It's all going to work out.
I feel like sitting in front of Trump and like doing like the Lucius Fox. He's like, let me see if I get this straight. You're about to go toe-to-toe with a guy who's been in government for 50 years, and he was the vice president for 8, and he was the one running a lot of the most important policy initiatives during the Obama administration, and your plan is to not be prepared against this guy? Good luck.
Like, I don't know what you want me to do.
Have fun.
Not preparing is crazy. I guess he just feels like sniffs enough Adderall, he should be good.
Well, and the thing that's funny is that as Biden is out on the campaign trail, I don't know if you've gotten to see a whole lot of his interactions with the press and stuff like that that have gone that he's done so far, because the media is not pushing it up as much as you think they would be. He's like on the ball when it comes to like answering questions about pretty much anything. Like, he is not only very well prepared, but he has this weird this ability to recall like old facts and stuff like that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
From many years ago, just like on the stand. And either he's prepared really well or he just has really good recall ability, I guess. I don't know what it is. But the fact that everyone from the progressive left to all Republicans have been lowering the bar for Joe Biden as low as humanly possible is not looking like a really sound strategy.
Look, again, stop calling him like a mush brain idiot. Like, this is not a good move, man. It's not a good move. But all right. We'll see. One last story that's not on the docket, Brad.
Oh boy,
Jack Berkman.
Oh boy, your boy Jack and Jacob, J&J.
So here's the thing, Brad. We have more information.
Oh, I know. I've seen the addendum to the story. I was wondering if you had seen it yet. I was planning on breaking the bad news to you on the air. I guess you saw it now.
I kind of love it though. Like, I kind of do. So apparently there were things on Twitter going around of like their images of Jack Berkman. Folks who remember Jack Berkman, him and Jacob Wool, we would report on those from time to time. They would just make up the crazy sex scandals about Democrats. Elizabeth Warren was fucking a 24-year-old Marine. Apparently she's a dominatrix. Again, she should have won the election based on that rumor alone. Period. God bless her. So these guys are like conspiracy theorists, like jackasses, right? On the right. So there's images of the FBI raiding Jack Berkman's house early this morning. And everyone's like, oh my God, like, what's happening? We were all excited. The FBI was like, we didn't raid Jack Berkman's house. What the fuck are you talking about? And apparently Jacob Wool staged a fake FBI raid on Jack Berkman's house to own the libs? I don't know. But I kind of love it. I love the showmanship of this.
I'm not sure who this is for.
I don't know.
Because if your argument is like the deep state FBI is attacking us, your boy's the president. This is his show, right?
Right.
Now. And the alternative is that people think you're criminals.
Right.
like that's a no-win situation, my dude. But in the end, they just turned out to be giant fucking liars, which we should have really all expected.
Yeah.
At the end
of Says day. On Monday, a Virginia man who responded to a Craigslist ad seeking actors to play FBI agents for a television pilot came forward to say that he had been roped into the latest hoax orchestrated by bumbling right-wing smear merchants Jack Berkman and Jacob Wall. That's still my favorite. It's my favorite term.
Oh my God.
Right-wing smear merchants.
Bumbling right-wing smear merchants. Oh my God.
I love it. It's so on brand.
I don't understand. I don't understand.
When this coronavirus thing is all over, Brad, if we ever get a chance, if we ever get wind of any more Jack Berkman, Jacob Wall things, because we're close enough, we got to drive down.
We can, but I feel like that we'd get kicked out for just laughing hysterically the entire time when they're trying to present information.
Yes.
We'd be very unprofessional.
Have you seen the video? There's no one who's professional there. No one. No one. Oh man,
I know, but I feel like you audibly saying "Are you fucking kidding me right now?" constantly would probably draw.
That is fair. That is, you know me very well. You know me very well. I would be like, Jacob Wool, come down here. I want to fight you. Like, let's put it on camera. Let's do this. Let's rumble. I would take a picture with Jacob Wolf.
I wrote two liberals at a coffee shop saying I was going to kick the shit out of him.
Where's that coffee shop? It's right here, motherfucker. I'm sad that this is not true, but I'm also extremely happy that it's fake because that is so on brand for them because they are massive liars. I love it. Wow, they paid $400 to white male actors, of course, who agreed to don FBI badges and windbreakers and film a series of scenes at Berkman's home in Arlington, Virginia, in a pre-dawn raid. Wow. Fucking wow. Oh, my God. That's so good.
Well, we had our quarterly Jacob Wolf sighting. I'm sure we're very
excited. Oh, I love it. I love it. It's too good. All right. That is it for us. We will see you guys next week with another episode. Hopefully not as crushing and mind-boggling as this week. Maybe we get a little bit more soup from a family situation and see what happens.
See you.
All right.